Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Good News Hour is with you once again, and your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And I should like to read now some three portions found in God's precious, holy, and honoring Word. And I would ask all who are listening in, if you are not familiar with these passages, to turn to them with us or jot them down and read them at your leisure. We're going to pursue a little further what we had been bringing before you in our last broadcast over the air. We called attention to the 12th chapter of the Gospel by St. John and pointed out that there were some Greeks who came up for to worship, and they had what we pointed out as an excellent desire. And they said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Now, I think we further saw from the Scriptures that our Lord Jesus Christ had a definite and a keen interest in these Gentiles who had come up for to worship, but he made it crystal clear that they could not see him, they could not meet him, other than on the ground of his death and glorious resurrection. And so he said to the ones who acted as sort of intermediaries and came to the Lord Jesus and brought to him what was expressed in the words of these Greeks, telling the Lord Jesus that they desired to see him. Now, I repeat, it's an excellent desire on the part of anyone to see Jesus or to contact the blessed Son of God. And of course, you could never get to heaven until you get to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we surely made clear that you can only see him now by a simple act of faith. Faith would bring our Lord Jesus Christ very, very near. Yes, faith in his atonement, faith in his death upon Calvary, a personal faith would bring to you peace and joy and forgiveness and a present salvation and the guarantee that you would share with him in the glories and the triumphs of his cross work. And so he said to Andrew and to Philip, Andrew, I take it, was the chief spokesman. He said, "Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And so he was telling them that in order to be able to go out and to reach Gentile sinners, it would necessitate the death of the Son of God. And then he further went on to say, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men or all manner of men unto me." And I'm glad to be able to tell you that because of Calvary, because of the work there accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been steadily drawing men and women to himself. And we frequently state, too, that all Christians have met, even although they may never have seen each other face to face in this life, and we'll spend eternity together in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have met in this respect, that we all contact the Savior at Calvary, the place where he offered up himself as a sacrifice for guilt and for sin. And so, if I've never met some of you to whom I'm addressing myself this day, and if you can say, "Well, I've been to the cross," in other words, by simple faith, "I have trusted the one who died thereon for sinners, who died for me." Well, I can say we have met. We have met at Calvary. Blessed be our God. We shall meet in that coming day in the place where we shall go in to go out no more forever and forever. So we would like to introduce to you the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should further like to stress that as a result of his having been lifted up, of course it was then anticipative, it's now accomplished, he was lifted up. And as a result of his being lifted up, as a result of his voluntary sacrifice and death, he has or he will draw all men unto him. No, we are not inferring for a moment that all people will be saved. We believe that salvation is unto all, and of course, it's upon all them that believe. We believe that it is the will of God that none should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And in fact, using the words of Paul that he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, "It is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who wills or who desires to have all men to be saved. And I do not believe that men and women or even boys and girls get saved unless there is a real desire. And I'm sure if you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be a desire on your part for salvation, a desire to know Him. Listen, and I further stress, you will not get saved unless there is a desire on your part to know Him above everything else in this world. You know, the salvation of God is so important. In fact, it is not something that you can take on at your leisure when you feel so disposed. The Word of God plainly and solemnly declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And we believe that it is in the heart of our God to bring you to His Son, that you might trust Him, that you might embrace Him, that you might receive Him and experience the joy of salvation and the joy of forgiveness and then those precious things that become ours the moment we exercise faith in the blessed Son of God. But I should like to proceed a little bit further now. And what we have been stressing is an excellent desire. That is a desire to see and a desire to know Jesus. Now, I should like to point out an open vision. And this you'd find in the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews chapter 2. And for brevity, we'll read it verse 9, which says, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, or as one translation puts it, for every purpose. Now I should point out to all my hearers that your first view, your first sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is to say, you cannot come to know Him unless you did and do as those Greeks did, become acquainted with Him on the basis of His death and glorious resurrection. In other words, you must become acquainted with Him as the one who bore on the tree the sentence, you can say the sentence for me, and now both the surety and sinner are free. All who trust Him as such as the one who died upon Calvary enter into the peace and rest and joy of forgiveness. Now, we read in the second portion, and this, I may say, is the open vision, for it says, "But we see Jesus." All truly born again men and women, all boys and girls who have been reached and saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ can see right into the very presence of God. And what do we see? Well, we aren't exactly looking back now to see the death that He accomplished for us, the work that He wrought for our salvation upon Calvary. But as believers, as Christians, we look up into the very presence of God and we see our Lord Jesus Christ, once rejected but now enthroned. You see, the world and those religious leaders did the worst for the Son of God, that put upon His blessed brow a crown of cruel thorns. They pressed them rudely upon His blessed head. And He endured it all without uttering, without opening His mouth, led as a lamb to the slaughter and as sheep before shears dumb. But I want you to take now another view. And if you have received Him, this is what you can say. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. He's now in the presence of God. He's now at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The world would not have Him, but I tell you, the Father gladly received Him, and He's seated with the Father upon the Father's throne. The work done, the work well done. And I'm glad to tell you today that there's enough love in the heart of our God, enough love in the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ to reach to every man and woman, boy and girl in the world, to the remotest corners of the earth, because our blessed Lord Jesus Christ died and He rose again. But now, just as I conclude my brief remarks to you, I should like to call attention, please, to another very interesting portion. And this is something that's anticipative. This is what believers can say in addition to being able to say we see Jesus now by faith lifted up, that is exalted, with the Father upon the Father's throne, they can now say, as John puts it in his first epistle, chapter 3, and verse 1, where he says, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But will you listen to this? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not we hope to be someday, but now, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. Now that's what I want to stress. This is the glorious climax, and this is what we anticipate. We're waiting for that moment when we shall see him as he is. Now, I'll never see him as he was here upon earth as a man, but I am going to see him as he now is in the glory. He's coming back, and if you'd trust him, if you'd receive him, you'd be able to say the same, I shall one day see him as he is and be with him and like him forever and forever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.